Good singing, Brother Bobby. All right, if you have your Bibles, open Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Bear with me this morning. Y'all know how my thought process is. I got the thoughts, they just don't come out my mouth maybe the way they should, or as efficiently as they should, and in the correct order. This morning, I want to bring a thought to you that, first off, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, just want to say thank you. Thank you for an opportunity to preach the word, Lord. I pray that you come down, meet with us, Lord. Open my mind, Lord. Help my thoughts to come through my mouth properly, and I wouldn't say anything that wouldn't bring honor and glory to your name, Lord. I love you. In your name we pray, amen. First off, let me say, this is a huge responsibility to stand behind this pulpit. And a lot of times, me personally have taken for granted the things that our pastor goes through on a daily Sunday. You know, it's not just waking up and coming on into church and that's it. He gets up behind here and preaches. That's not what all he does. And I learned this morning some of the things that man goes through. So I thank him for that. And on that same note, I also don't want to take lightly standing here in his place. This is a sacred desk. This is very important. And any time that you get to preach for the Lord, you got to put your heart and soul into it. Now, this morning, this message is something that's very near and dear to my heart. Okay? Let's read Mark chapter 8 and verse number 18. It says, "Having eyes, see ye not. And having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember." If you got a pen, if you got a highlighter, I want you to highlight that last phrase, "and do ye not remember." As I began to seek the Lord on what he would have me preach this morning, he began to overwhelm my thoughts with this one topic. This is a topic that is, again, like I said, very near and dear to my heart. One that you may have heard me allude to, maybe in a Sunday school hour, some other messages that I've preached. But just for a few minutes this morning, I promise I won't take long, I want to take an old symbol and put a spiritual theme to it. Okay? I have in my hand a yellow ribbon. And if I cross it like this, who can tell me the meaning of this symbol? This is an old symbol. It dates back over 430 years. If you ever spend any time in the military, you have sang this song while you're out on those long walks that you had to go do. She wore a yellow ribbon in her hair. Some of you have even seen the old John Wayne movie, "She Wore a Yellow Ribbon." Oh, yeah. This yellow ribbon is a symbol of our troops that are overseas in harm's way. And they're in our thoughts and in our prayers. But let me give you the exact definition. I had to look this up. If you Google on the internet, Yellow Ribbon, it gives you a definition, okay? And I'll give you part of what it... First off, let me say that this dates back over 430 years, okay? Really can't find its origin. Don't know who exactly came up with this idea, okay? But the Yellow Ribbon in former times, let me find my spot and make sure I quote this exactly. Young women in former times would tie yellow ribbons in their hair in a pledge of faithfulness to the one they love. In this, they would be telling all who see it that they are remembering someone special and are not available for courtship. They are away, but who will be back? Until the day that he returns, they will wait on him. They will be faithful to him no matter how long it takes. Does that sound familiar now? Yellow ribbon in the hair. When I was deployed to Iraq, my mom had my dad tie a yellow ribbon in front of the house, and it spanned the whole house. Now, I'm not making this up. I'm not exaggerating. This is a normal three-bedroom, two-bedroom brick house. It's not no little shack. And my dad had to go out there and tie a yellow ribbon as big as he could find on the front of that house. Now, for my mom, this was her way of letting people know that she had a child that was gone away to combat. But with her faithfulness to God, God would bring him home safe one day. That's what the yellow ribbon meant for my mom. You've seen the yellow ribbon. You see it on the back of trucks, on the backs of cars. Support our troops. All this basically is a symbol of remembrance. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. This morning, I want to go over, and this will be, I'll be done in about 10 minutes. Five things that we need to tie a yellow ribbon around. Some things that we need to remember. Things we've forgotten. Now, you as a civilian, maybe you don't have a loved one who's deployed overseas. So it's very easy to forget our troops that are over there. You don't have one of these, but you're driving through Walmart parking lot and you see a car with a yellow ribbon on there, it reminds you. Oh yeah, that's right, we are. We still do have troops deployed behind enemy lines. Do you take that time to remember them? Or do you just shrug it off? Now, I said this is something that is very near and dear to my heart because of this reason. Okay, I need to give you I just want to take a few minutes to give you my testimony. Some of you know it, some of you don't know it. I was born in Tarrant County, Fort Worth, one of them hospitals over there, but I was not born Raymond Charles Dotson. I was born Raymond Thomas Ragsdale. At the age of three, Danny and Debbie Dotson adopted me, and I grew up in a pastor's home. As long as I can remember, we were at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, the revival mission conference, soul winning. Anytime the doors were open, that's where I was. At the age of 18... when I graduated high school, I turned my back on everything of God. Everything, completely away from God. Let me tell you something. There's going to come a time in your life, teenagers, when mom and dad are not making the decisions anymore. And you already cannot wait for that day. I know. I used to be a teenager. And here's a funny thing. Just something free for you. Your parents used to be a teenager. They know what's going on in your mind. When I turned 18, and I was technically, by the state of Texas, a man. I graduated high school. I pushed everything about God away from me. Ended up getting a girl pregnant out of wedlock at the age of 19. And all these things that my parents had taught me growing up, hey, you need to wait on the right mate. You need to wait. You need to wait. My kids have to be punished because of my mistakes today. Your sin doesn't just affect you. That's free. I'm just throwing that in there for you. Your sin doesn't just affect you. It affects those around you. And it may not even affect the people that you see. It may be somebody you're not even thinking of. Your actions have consequences. And that doesn't matter how old you are. Okay? So, at the age of 19, I had my first son, Nicholas Braden Dotson, best looking kid in the world. Well, he's a Dotson. Has to be. At the age of 20, I got this bright idea that I was going to provide for my family. I wasn't going to be just a deadbeat dad. I was going to provide for my family. In the little small town of Center Texas, there's about three places that you would want to retire from. Everybody's seen that portico, that big fan, that radiator. They're made in East Texas Center. You can work there, Walmart, or I think Tyson's. I didn't want to work there. I got the bright idea, I'm going to join the Army. Okay? The Army's going to take care of my family. I've got benefits, got a place to stay. I don't have to pay any bills. Good idea, right? So there I left in June of 2000. I left for Fort Linwood, Missouri for basic training. While I was gone to basic training, my youngest son was born, Brandon Shane. Again, because of my mistakes and things that I had done, I was not there to see my second son born. Dads, you know what that means, to be at the hospital when your kids are born. You know what that means to you. Doesn't mean nothing to anybody else, but it means the world to a dad. To be at the hospital, I wasn't there. Because again, I thought I knew better than authority. I got this bright idea one day during the first, during basic training, got the bright idea, I'm going to go down here to the infantry division. All those phones are available, all of them. Every last one of them, infantry's gone. So I'm going to go use those pay phones. And so I called my wife, and I was on the phone with her for several hours. Well, unbeknownst to me, as soon as they let us go, they called formation again just to see who was still hanging around and who had gone where they weren't supposed to go. I was one of them that went where they weren't supposed to go. So because of that, my punishment was a Article 15. I was not allowed to leave base during the time which my son was born. Okay, a couple years later, I was deployed overseas in a combat zone in which I spent 13 months and 15 days cursing God and everything about it. Let me tell you something. When you get deployed into a combat zone, you're not just going to another country. Okay? You're going to war. You understand that? It's not something that you get on a video game and you play, and then you come back unhurt. Brian Fisher Jr. can attest to this. You go to war, you're coming back with something extra, something you didn't take with you. And there's a part of you that gets left overseas. Okay? Now, this is very important. This part is very important. I'm telling you this for a reason. This yellow ribbon means the world to me. When God allowed me to step foot back on U.S. soil, the first thing I did when I got out of that airplane, I kissed the ground. And everybody around me thought it was funny. Uh-huh, look at Dotson, he's being funny. No. For me, I had escaped death and I had escaped the judgment of God. And when I got home, I realized it's because of this one little thing that my mom did for me. She tied a yellow ribbon in front of the house and she prayed for her son to come back alive. And because of that, because of a mom who remembered God and remembered all things are possible through Him, I'm saved today. I get to stand up here and preach to you this morning. This means the world to me. Now, with my mom, it was a remembrance, a symbol, a sign that she had a son that was away from God and in a place that at any given second his life would be taken away. Okay? She remembered these few things I want to point out to you. Number one, she remembered the cross. Have you forgotten about the cross this morning? Have you forgotten about a Savior who sent His Son, His only begotten Son, for you? And even though you may turn your back on God and walk away from everything you know to be right, He did it anyway. He still came down and died for you. As sorry and as rotten sinner as you are. And He died for me. The cross. What is about the cross? What do you think about? What do you remember when you think about the cross? Number one, I think about the death, Jesus Christ. The burial. You realize when Jesus was buried, it wasn't even His tomb He was buried in. He had to borrow it from somebody. But the most important thing about the cross is this. The resurrection on the third day. Somebody say, sure! Second thing I want you to remember is, turn over to Psalms chapter 20. I got a few verses I want to show you for these next couple points. Remember, the whole point of this message this morning is we have forgotten some things that are important to us. Some things that we need to remember. Number one was the cross. Number two, have you ever heard of this guy named Lord God Almighty, Emmanuel, the beginning and the last? I am that I am. You ever heard of somebody named that? Psalms chapter 20, verse number 7 says this: some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Have you forgotten? Can you name off 20 names like that? Or can you only give me two or three? God, Jesus Christ, and Lord. Is this important to you? Is the Lord important to you? You tie a yellow ribbon on it to remember it? Turn over Psalms chapter 119. Number four is found in verse 105. It's time we tie a yellow ribbon around the Bible. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Have you forgotten your Bible this morning? Have you forgotten the cross? Have you forgotten the Lord, the one that gave His best for you, but yet you won't give your best for Him? Go figure. Number three, have you forgotten your manual? You know, as a soldier, I can probably pull up some manuals I still got at home. You know, how to do a left-facing movement or a right-facing movement. I can still do it to this day. You know what something else I can do? When I catch somebody, like Chaddy will say something. It doesn't matter. Have a phrase. I catch myself repeating what he just said in my head and then trying to go left, left. Call cadence to it. I do. It's just something crazy. I mean, call me crazy. You know, just, this way it is. I remember those things about the military. If you was to give me a M16 right now, I'll have it stripped and cleaned just like that. Not as efficiently as I did 15 years ago, but better than most. Okay? I still remember desert survival training. I remember that thing. At the time, it was very important to me in Iraq to remember how to survive in the desert. In case you didn't know, anybody have any idea where you'd put your water in the middle of a 140 degree temperature? Put it in the ground, about 3 feet in the ground, and it's about 50 degrees cooler down there than it is up here. It keeps them plastic bottles from melting. I mean, just things that I remember. I remember my wife. That's important to me. That's very important. That's my better half. That is a blessing that God gave me because I remembered Him. You realize that there's nothing in this Bible that says I have to get married the first time? I don't know of anything. If you know something, show me in here where it says that you have to get married. It doesn't say that. I have been married before. Okay? Because I took matters into my own hand. I didn't remember things that should have been important to me. But the Lord gave me my wife. Outside of my salvation, that's the best blessing He's ever given me. You know why? What are you remembering today? The next point is the Sabbath day. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 8 says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I see you remembered to be here today. It's where you're supposed to be on Sunday. But here's the thing, okay? In Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 8, it in no part says these words. Remember the Sabbath day, you only have to go to church to Sunday morning. That's it. It does not say anything like that. It says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Any job that I have, first thing out of my mouth when they call me back, Brother Bobby, when sunset, when I had to go see Manny, the supervisor for Robert got there, and I had to go take my driving test, he said, well, do you have any questions for me? First thing out of his mouth, you have any questions for me? I said, no, sir, I don't have any questions, but I do have a statement for you. I do. There is something I want you to know. There will never be a time where Sunday I'll be able to work. Never. It's not happening. Okay, well, that's good to know. It's good to know you're a Christian, right? I'm a Christian too. All right? I remembered that God said, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. So I tie a yellow ribbon around that to help me remember. So, Lord willing, I'm not puking my guts up. I will be here tonight. 6 o'clock. Church starts 6 o'clock. To remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Is that important to you? Is it just something that you just push off to the side? The last thing I want to point out to you is this. We're going to look in three different passages, so get your Bibles ready. Turn over to Numbers chapter 30, verse number 2. Let me go back to, while you're looking that up, let me go back to the statement I made being this. I remember that blessing God gave me that sitting back there in the sound booth. I remember that. Wait, I got in trouble for this already. August the 2nd, 5 years. How long has it been, sweetheart? 5 years, 6 years, it doesn't matter. A few years ago, I made a vow to God. For better, for worse, and richer, for poor, sickness and health, and all that stuff. You know, I made a vow. I vowed a vow right here on this platform to God and the other witnesses that I would hold that woman in the most highest regard, highest respect. I'm going to take her as my wife. She'll be my helpmeet. Turns out she is literally my better half. Okay, now, this is a vow I made to her and to God that there will be no others. Numbers chapter 30, verse number 2 says this, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. We will begin reading in verse number 21. 23 verse number 21 says this. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. Flip over to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Remember, remembering things. Things that are important to you. Things that maybe you need to tie a yellow ribbon around to remind yourself. I mean, we forget. I forget. It's human nature. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 5 says this, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. I want you to remember your vows made to God. Teenager, you make a vow to God to not listening to the wrong music. Did you say that at camp one time? Grown up, adult, did you go to camp, summer camp one year, and in front of all your friends, you made this big to-do, I will never, ever, ever listen to country music again. That is my vow I'm making to God. You ever make a vow, I will keep myself pure until I'm married. I will not do drugs. I will not drink alcohol. I will not be in any place that a Christian should not be. That is my vow, God, to you. Not only this, I'm going to go to a mission field for you, Lord. And I'm going to witness for you. I'm going to tell others. I'm going to become a pastor one day. I'm going to give you the rest of my life, God. Because, after all, that's something worth remembering. But yet you have forgotten it. and you think, oh, that's something I did back at church camp 50 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, last year. I didn't really mean it. Listen, you made a vow to God. Do you think that at any... Now, I'm just using this as an example. Do you think that at any time my wife would be okay with me walking up to another woman and holding her hand? Absolutely not. That is a vow I made to God and my wife, but yet you think it's okay for you to go back on these little things that you told God you'd do. God, I'll sing in the choir. I'll fill in a Sunday school class. Why is it okay for you to go back on a vow you made? My Sunday school class, what's the excuse I learned in the Army real fast, quick and in a hurry? There is no excuse. There's no excuse for what we do, but yet we think it's okay. You get home today, you need to get your yellow ribbon. I'm being serious. All right? I'm not being funny. I'm not trying to give you homework. I want you to go home, and if this is important to you, I want you to take a yellow ribbon. I want you to tie it around your Bible. I want you to tie it around the things of God that you need to remember, because apparently you have forgotten it. Apparently I have. And that's not okay. It is better to not vow a vow than to vow a vow and break it. What's important to you this morning? I want to point this out to you. Now, you say, turn over Hebrews chapter 7. You say this. You say that a vow you made to God, it is okay for you to break. Because, after all, you know, you were, I guess, under the influence of being at camp. You know, I just kind of peer pressure. Everybody's wanting me to go do it. And so, just thought I'd go do it, okay? Well, here, I want to point this one little thing out. You realize that there is a vow the Lord Jesus Christ has made for you. And to this day, He has not broken it. Right. It's important to Him. He's tied a little yellow ribbon around it. He remembers. Verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25 says this. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. I want you to look at this last part. Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's on the right hand of God the Father pleading your case. Remember, He's our go-between. Okay? When God looks at you, the Christian, He sees Jesus. So when you do something wrong, God looks over there. Oh, like, hey, Jesus, there's a problem here. Jesus stands up in your place. He remembers you. You are important to Him. Why is it we very quickly forget Him? I told you at the beginning, this is something near and dear to my heart. God gave me a second chance. There's nothing in this Bible that says I am promised a second chance. Realize that? If God hadn't shown me mercy, I'd be dead and in hell today. That's where I deserve to be. I come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I've heard some of the greatest preachers speak on hell and how there's only one way to get to heaven. But yet somewhere along the line, that wasn't important to me. That was not important to me at all. So I didn't remember that this was something sacred. Jesus died on the cross for me. Most of y'all have heard the testimony I've given. What was it, 27, 28 times I professed salvation before I got saved? That's a lot of times where I used that excuse to get me out of trouble at home. And it worked 27 times. But here's the thing. I found myself in a little place called Tikrit, Iraq, where bullets were flying over my head, and everywhere I turned, there was death. And because of that, because of it was the popular thing to do with all of us big and bad soldiers, us big and bad troops, we're going to curse God. But for whatever reason, He didn't forget me. He said, Raymond Charles Dotson, you're important to me. And one day, I'm going to show you how much you mean to me. Because of that, it is very imperative. That's a big word, imperative. It's very important. Nothing else matters. I spend my life serving Him and remembering these little things. Because if I don't remember these little things, I fall by the wayside. And everything He did was in vain. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. You got something that you need to remember this morning? You got some things that you might need to tie a yellow ribbon around? First off, can you say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? Do you know that? If you're saved this morning, let me see you raise your hand. If you're saved, you should be proud of it. You should be on the inside saying, sure! Glory to God! Thank you, Lord. Put your hands down. If you cannot say for 110% sure that if you died today, heaven would be your home, let me see you raise your hand. I want to show you out of the Bible how you can know how Jesus remembers you. And He has given you one more opportunity to come down to this altar and make Him first in your life.